Go to Romans 6.
Go to what?
Romans chapter 6. Do you think that it's possible for a minute to believe that there were only two men in history? Adam.
Blasphemy.
What? Adam and Christ. There's only two vehicles, vessels, that God is doing anything with. Adam or Christ. You're not even in the equation. You're not here. All of your hesitancy to prophesy comes because you believe that you have willpower, free will. You do not have free will. The only question is, who is occupying the temple? You understand? You are a vessel, but a vessel is nothing in and of itself. You are a vessel that contains something. All the human race are vessels that contain something. The one purpose of Satan is to cause these vessels to believe that they're separate from what they really contain. Do you understand that? The Antichrist, the God of this world, Satan, the prince of the power of the air, his only job is to make you feel like you are separate from God. One lie, and everything else flows from that one lie. And that's why the cross had to come into the picture. The cross had to enter into history. Because by that cross, that mind that's in you and that mind that's in the world that's convinced that you are separate from life and separate from brethren and separate from God might be seen for what it is and might be crucified. You don't exist except as a part of a greater whole. There's only two things going on. There's really only one thing. The only one thing going on in time and space is the birth of a bride. But there's, in any birth, afterbirth is also there. You've got to get this into your head someday. You've got to know by now that you continually trying to take up the right to yourself all the time has not worked. The fast of Ab is the celebration that says boldly before the throne of God that it is no longer I that live, but Christ who liveth in me. I can never again be separate from that life. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Through the standing, through the enduring, through the abiding, the resurrected Christ will become visible to the people around me. That I will be changed without even the slightest hint of me knowing it's happening. That any holiness that happens to be in you is unconscious. That any attempt to try to get it right is sin. Because, hallelujah, we have defeated the evil one. This evil one. It says that I'm separate from the source of life and I must claw and grab and gain my way into some sustenance. You understand? The Fast of Ab is really a celebration of who is occupying your temple. It's an incredibly terrible fast for the God of this world. It's the Antichrist within you, but it's a joy to that life which is Christ. This stuff isn't negotiable. It's not something you can sit around and talk about and think about and say, yeah, that makes sense. You can do that for a while. That's why Romans 6 says, reckon yourself crucified. Reckon. But reckon is for this part of the journey. Reckoning is for the journey in the wilderness. You can reckon yourself crucified. It's an accounting term. You can say, my God, I hope someday that I'll understand this. That means you're reckoning. It's logizomai in the Greek. When you're in here, you stop recognizing. You stop recognizing and you stop reckoning and you begin to recognize. You can say boldly with Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You believe in him that you might be justified by the faith of him. To believe in him is reckoning. God didn't want a bunch of little retarded kids running around saying, praise God, I believe in you. No matter how much you try to shine the outside, he doesn't want reckoning, he wants knowing. Knowing this. You can excuse behavior of the child. You know, but you don't have any, this group, and I don't care how long you've been here, you are now no longer a child. When you were a child, you thought as a child, you acted as a child, you spake as a child, but when you became an adult, you put away the childish things. The childish things now to you are to give any credence whatsoever vis-a-vis the flesh. If it's Tylene and Edwin, you can sit and argue, you can talk, you can cut yourselves, both of you, to ribbons. And you'll end up as two dead pieces of meat and rotting and falling into the ground and dying. You know, you can have 5,000 patterns of behavior, but if you continue in strife and contention, something is amiss. The only thing that is amiss is that you're trying to analyze darkness. By trying to solve something. You can never analyze darkness. You've got to know that by now. Well, then what motivates us? One of two things. Either idolatry or God. I promise you that if there's anything that's taking you out of the rest, that thing that is motivating you is idolatry. If you are taking a breath, the next breath you take, if it's out of the peace that passes understanding, then the thing that's motivating you is an idol. Nothing external can touch you. It's the idols you worship in here. Now, the fast of Ab is a destruction, but a celebration to the resurrected one. You got to see that this isn't, that we're not talking about stuff that's optional. You occupy, you're a vessel, but something is occupying. It's either a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy. A vessel of wrath or mercy. That's a vessel of judgment or grace. Judgment or grace. There's no such thing as a middle ground. It's gone. The middle ground has been pulled out from under you. Well, no matter what it is that confronts you, do I want to take my life back? Or am I going to stand still and see the salvation of God? There's only one life that's occupying you as the temple, as Jesus Christ. Your mind tells you have to perform, that something is left to do, that something must take place. But Christ in his beauty has, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. All the parables are about the automatics. The parables, almost all the parables of Christ are about the plant kingdom, as we've talked about, where the thing that takes place happens automatically. Now, what you do as, what do you call it, as prophesying, bubbling forth, that's just the manure that's watering, I mean, that's making this, fertilizing the seed. So what you call something evil, God transforms it into that which is necessary for the revelation of Christ within you. You can't keep it in anymore. If you keep it in, you will die. If you try to keep it in you, you will end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the lesson of this, as I've told you so often. Please. It's so simple. It's a simple, 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 simple life. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, supplication. Can't even say it.
Supplication.
With prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind centered in Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Please consider these things carefully. It's so total. There's no room for gray. It's black or white. Either Christ is my life in every dimension, or he's my life in no dimension. The thing that always gets you in this relationship business is, well, just in not necessarily relationships, but your dealings with people that know you real well, is, and it's almost inescapable that you ask for justice. You need to have in the argumentation, you need to come back if somebody accuses you of something. I mean it's a whole process, a whole life of seeking justice. Now, you don't have any excuse any longer to seek justice. If you sought justice, you're dead meat. And so you can't, therefore, put your trip on somebody else. I mean, if it's there, you have to confess it. That's why it's there, so you can confess it. It's not there because it's the end of the world and you think this is all there is and da-da-da-da-da. It's there so that you can be exercised in that attitude, in that arena. Exercise meaning humbled. But that's a biggie, because you know you always want justice. You're made to want justice. The evil one is made to want justice. And don't ask for it, please. I mean, you don't know what you're getting in for if you play that game. Okay? Go to Isaiah 24.
What do you got against Romans 6?
Well, I already said about wrecking yourself crucified. I just didn't. It's in Romans 6, so.
When you say ask for justice, I'm not even sure I know exactly what. You will say I want justice.
No, we don't say I want justice, but you say I want you to be this way so you can meet my standards.
Or somebody does something mean to you, you say I want you to apologize, right. Or I want you to be in agreement with the
thing. That's the kicker.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's like an even balanced.
Yeah.
Or you want.
That's exactly what. And to me, that's the big killer. And it's discouraging to me to be, you know, care about her or other people, you know, in the group and still have that lingering thing that just doesn't really go away. I wish they're a little bit different. I wish they'd just do this a little bit different. Cool.
Well, that propensity is always in everybody. But what happens is God sneaks up on you. When you see that you see how much you've been forgiven, then there's no way that you could ask somebody else to change. It has to be that depth of feeling. And that's the process. And it's a process only because of our unbelief. It's instantaneous. It's our only reality, really. But we come against it with our thoughts constantly. Okay, Isaiah 24. Let's just, these are all assigned readings. Isaiah 24, Isaiah 24 and then Isaiah, well, never mind, you're not going to do it anyway. We'll do it together Sunday. But from the 24, verse 17. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. That's your heritage. Fear, pit, and a snare. If you're an inhabitant of the earth, that's what you will inherit. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Now, isn't this really a description of what's happened in you? Your real basic motivation for everything you do in your life is fear. So you do everything to try to assuage the fear. Assuage, or however you say that word. But that's what motivates you, is fear. It's what motivates the Antichrist. It's the food for the Antichrist. And you have many different manifestations of that engine that's you throw the fear into it and it burns, and that's what motivates. If you didn't fear, you would be
not like this.
And then Paul or John comes along and says, perfected love has cast out all fear. So that there must be something else that motivates you. Here it says, it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. That's been what your lot has been thus far, mostly. You're fleeing in your mind from the snare of the fear, or from the noise of the fear. And the way you flee from it is that you create a universe in your mind. You create a scenario. You create something in your mind that will get you out of that position of fear. And that's just you. This is everybody in the face of the earth. And it's the fear of death, is what we've talked about this before in Groves. Your main fear is the fear of death. Some of you have never thought about it until we started studying it here. Let's go to Hebrews 9, verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We've studied this so much that it's become a cliched phenomena in the group. But we haven't studied it enough so that you experientially know this. That your fear of death is your bondage. Now the human race doesn't go around thinking about fear of death. I mean,
In fact, they do exactly the opposite.
But what you do think about is fear of being separate.
And that then motivates you. You're either grasping for something you don't have or grasping to hold on to something you do have. In either case, it's what's really taking place. You may give it all kinds of names. You may even call it love. But in truth, it's fear of death because it's fear of some kind of separation. And that becomes the thing that motivates you in your thought processes, in your religion, in your life. Now, the only way that God has of getting you out of that is to see that all is dead. Here, we read in Isaiah 24 that the whole earth is reeling to and fro. But somehow, the blood of Christ has to enter into the understanding at the level to cause you no longer to be under bondage because of the fear of death. And it's so simple, yet you forget about it so quickly. His promise is he will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. He can't leave you or forsake you because he's in the vessel. He is the vessel. He and the vessel are one.
He and the Father
are one. Separation is impossible. But you don't think that way. It's the moment you're threatened with some kind of separation, you start in either in anger, start grasping, or get depressed, or on and on and on. You end up giving this fear of death life. Now, hopefully, prayerfully, the fast of Ab is a celebration that the fear of death no longer has sway over you. Can you understand a little bit? Because, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. It's like everything else that we study, everything else we talk about, has to come back to this point. Has to come back to the point where you are no longer afraid of separation. You'll be tested in that arena. We'll be all tested in that arena until the fear of separation is as though it were a bad dream. Amen? Well, we'll get together about 1 or 1:30 Sunday, and we'll do the readings, and then we'll have the feast at about the same time, about 5:30, whatever. And then we'll probably repair to the big group for a couple songs in the afternoon.
Now, are we gonna make this like a special dinner? That's what I want.
Well, yeah. I mean, make it a nice dinner.
It's what I like. The only thing in the world.
You can even dress up if you want.
Yeah. Huh? You don't want to be able to sit around the table.
What table?
It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah,
my dinner is sit around the table.
Maybe we could even
brush off and clear the table.
Well, we won't have any more Bible study down here after we do the study, so then we don't go up to the big group until 7:30. So there's a lot of time.
1:30 to 5.
Well, yeah, we'll be here 1:30 to 5. We'll only have to eat about 5.
Eat here.
Yeah.
And then after we move out up there for a little bit.
Right. But it won't be anywhere near as long. It'll just be a short time together.
Maybe even a second
less.
Okay? Sure.
Well, I don't know what possessed me to call off the fast.
Because we've been fasting for weeks.
we're so rich.
You've been fasting every.
We've been fasting from you.
That's why. Stuff.
Did you hear that, guy?
That's why.
Yes, we have to talk. And you're all
bite your tongue, buddy.
Rex, you may fast in the privacy of your own home.
You just normally do.
Anybody have anything else? Any needs? Any prayer requests?
Have a joke for Harry.
Don't tell it.
It's really bad.
Can you Can we at this instant say the entire past is gone, mm-hmm. and we simply say, Father, we present ourselves to you a living sacrifice. There's no history. There's no past. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, take a big guy.
The past is poop.
Poopy.
Poop the past.
Poopy past.